So to kickstart the whole day, our session, I planned something, and we have two members of our church, and they just got engaged, right? So praise God. So Sheldon and Vivian, they just got engaged this week. So okay, let's stop clapping. Sheldon, why is your face so red? I don't know. What's going on? So I thought, what a great engagement gift. And so why don't you guys come, and we're going to start. Rob's going to pray for you guys. Let's come up. Come on stage.
Well, he's come. Did I get that on right? Am I okay? Okay. I was going to say something, but I'll do that afterwards. Isn't this cool?
Sheldon and Vivian.
It's just too bad you guys aren't excited about this. They're sitting here like, wow, God, we love these guys. How awesome they are. And how awesome you are in your care and your love for them. And Vivian, I felt like the Lord wanted to say, my precious. There's such a precious quality about you that God sees in you. And he's going to continue to draw that out. You're in this season right now. This guy standing behind you recognizes your value, the preciousness that's in you. And he's going to remind you of it. He's going to bring it up to you. And the times when you don't feel very precious, he's going to encourage you in it. Because what you carry is distinctive and needed in the people around you. Wherever you go, there's this fragrance of heaven. And you have the capacity in you to change the environment of places where you go. Purity and the simplicity and the genuineness of your heart is something that impacts people, and it goes way beyond words. It's what you carry. And so I just feel God's heart to say, you're going to see it more. You're going to see it in different places. And you're going to be surprised at who comes into you, your office, the places where you recreate. And just said, you know, there's something about you. Could we just talk? You probably need to get like a Starbucks card or something, because you're going to just have people who want to be in you because of the preciousness of God's presence that you carry. And you are a man who's faithful. In almost every way. You're the best kind of friend. And a lot of times men have trouble committing like that to a relationship, but you're a man who's faithful. And people are going to come and get you and say, I want you to walk with me. There's going to be people that are coming into your life that are going to open doors of opportunity for you. But they're going to, even if they don't say it to you, they're going to be, I will not go unless you come with me. Because I want somebody who's got my back. I want somebody who's going to walk beside me. Want somebody who's going to be encouraging to others about who I am. And there are going to be times over the next decade, you're going to come into contact with people and you go, why am I even here? I shouldn't be here. I don't have the credentials to be here. But God wants you to know you have the credential to be with those who are otherwise would be out of reach, out of relational connection, because you're a man who's faithful. And others are going to recognize that. And so you're going to be accelerated in some areas that you would think, I'm really not supposed to be here. But it's because they see in you faithfulness. Vivian, I bless you that all that you carry, that which is precious and that which is faithful, will be more impactful because you're together. Bless your marriage. Have fun. You're welcome. Yeah, I'm not sure how I'm going to live up to that introduction. So, you know, if that's not on the tape, that's okay. Or I can't say tape anymore, can I? I have gray hair. I can say tape. It's okay. Or white hair or whatever it is now. This is one of my favorite places on the planet to be. Sam did echo a lot of the things that we've been together, and he's been grateful to make a place for me. And all of you, many of you, have been grateful to make a place for me. I was surprised I walk in and a couple of people said, "Do you remember me?" And it's like, of course I remember you. Aren't we like almost family? And that's what this house feels like to me. Is just like, Gus, these are my friends. This is a place that's comfortable. This is a place that's safe. I just want to thank Sam and Lisa. You so honor me. I don't really have words, but I'm just really grateful for always making a place, being my friend, saying, "God, we want this guy to come back again." It's like amazing. And all of you, so many came up and just smiled. "It's good to see you again," all of that. I'm just really, really grateful. And happy anniversary. I was here, I think, the second or third week you moved into this building. So I got to be a part of that. And just even talking with Sam when I got here, the first time we came and there was, 30 or 40 people just starting off, and everything was new and everything was exciting. And some of you guys have grown and done so many extraordinary things. It's just wonderful. Well, God, thank you for this house. Thank you for these people here. Such an incredible honor to be here. Come and do something unique in each person. Father, that going forward, there would be a greater confidence, a greater certainty of your purposes and your direction for the individuals, the small groups, the ministry communities, and this house to be an impact in Asia. That it isn't just about the meetings here, it's about influencing market makers, presidents, political people that you're going to open doors to for this house to impact. So we thank you for that. Amen. The story is told of a never-say-die, exuberant, great general. He was taken captive and thrown into a deep pit with some of his men. When they got in there, they found there was all kinds of horse manure. The general, being the person that he was, said, "Follow me, men. There has to be a horse in here somewhere." The idea that even in the worst kind of place, we can always have hope. And I'm going to talk about tonight hope. Now, I don't know about you, but God started talking to me about hope maybe 2.5 or 3 years ago specifically. But I cannot recall a sermon or a teaching or reading a book about hope. Now, and I've grown up in the church. I took a break from the church because I didn't like the church, as some of you know my story. When I came back at the renewal meetings, I was at those meetings 2 or 3 nights a week for multiple years. I've heard a lot of people speak, and I cannot recall one time anybody spoke about hope. But for tonight and tomorrow, I'm going to chat a little bit with you about hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13, we all know this whole section. It's this love chapter, right? Everybody knows that one. Even people who don't know Jesus know the first part of this chapter. It's on plaques when you go into gift stores and all of those sorts of things. The chapter ends with this verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now, love is important. It's absolutely vital. It's the cornerstone that identifies who we are. Amen? If we don't have love, we might as well all go home or, you know, go to the soccer stadium or wherever it is you go to recreate. We might as well go home if we don't have love. Any activity in the kingdom of God is going to be motivated by love or it's not the kingdom. So we've got to have that. Faith is really important. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. There is no way we can walk as followers of Jesus without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Amen? And we've heard, okay, I shouldn't say we. I have heard many, many sermons on faith, many, many sermons on love. Faith is imperative for the kingdom activity. I can't prophesy. I can't live without stress. Little aside, you actually can learn to live without stress. I want to praise God because in January, I just passed 11 years of not being sick. At all. I don't do sick anymore. I had somebody come up not too long ago and they go, hey, you know, don't shake my hand or anything because I've got the flu. And I said, well, you know, I don't do sick, so it's okay. I attribute most of that because I don't traffic in stress anymore. I can't do that without faith. I can't pray for the sick without faith. I honor and bless God. In the last 2.5 years, I've probably seen more people get healed than my entire Christian life. For those of you who don't know me, I am 62 years old. I am qualified for the lowest rung of retirement. I'm not retiring because I'd rather get more and wait a little while. And I'm nowhere close to retiring as far as I feel. But in the last 2.5 years, I've seen more people get healed than my entire lifetime of praying for healing together. I can't pray for healing without faith. I can't have a meaningful relationship with God without faith. But look at this verse again. And now these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now for me, hope was never included in the equation of kingdom activity. You just didn't hear about it. Have more faith. Do it in love. I'm so grateful you feel love because that's been my goal in prophetic ministry. Whether I get a word that's awesome or a word that's weird, if you felt like God loved you when you got done, I feel like I hit out of the park. But hope never got included in that. And I'm not sure why. And yet, these three remain. So what's your definition of hope? Stop and think for a minute. What is your definition of hope? For most people, both in our culture and in the church a lot of the time, there's very little difference between hope, wishing, wanting, good luck. It's all kind of the same thing. I wish you well. I hope you do well. Good luck to you. I want good things for you. I hope you succeed. Positive thoughts your way. They write that on Facebook a lot. Positive thoughts. But see, we put hope in the same category as wishing. All things considered, hope it goes good for you. The church too often devalues important kingdom values when we don't understand or experience them. Can I take a time out here? Getting a parking space right in front of the door to the store you're going to is not a miracle. It's nice. I love when Papa does that. You know, when it's, I left Toronto and it was, you know, minus, I don't know, 8 or 9 Celsius and it was snowing and all that kind of stuff. All things being equal, I'd just as soon have a spot right in front of the door. It's a nice gift from Papa. It's not a miracle. And yet you hear about that in church often because we had to dumb down miracles because we didn't experience the real thing. You can say amen or oh my or something like that. See, if you don't respond once in a while, I'll think you've gone to sleep and I'll have to go back and repeat this and we'll be here till like 11:30 or something. We call it a miracle because we don't experience the real deal. We don't see people who get up and walk. So we say that it's a miracle to get a parking place. But the same is true for hope. Because we don't know or experience biblical hope, we say, I hope you have a nice day. And we could have just as easily said, I wish you have a really nice day today. Good thoughts your way. And we can do better. Amen? Hope has to be more, because remember, these three remain. Hope is in the same category of impact in the kingdom as faith and love. Could it possibly be that we experience less because hope is not a part of the equation? I did a survey at our church. Our church is a lot smaller community, but our church, the people coming to our community, have all been in church a while. And what I found is it's really hard to use church language out in the community. I used to be a corporate accountant. You couldn't talk about the grace of God at, you know, your corporate meetings because they think you're weird. Has anybody ever tried to bring up the blood of Jesus at a meeting? That'll weird them out. So we have to learn a different language, and so we often will get in groups, talk about things, and then share. So during a teaching I was doing on this, I got people in groups and asked them to come up with definitions for hope. And it took a while. So small group leaders, if you ever, you know, don't have a topic for the evening, you can just ask your small group, or your cell group, what do we call it? House church. I've been through so many names of these things over the years, I don't even know what people call them. You can ask your house church, let's come up with a definition for hope, and that'll pretty much take care of your whole evening. Our church talks about kingdom lifestyle. Our church talks about kingdom living a lot. And even with that in mind, here's what our church came up with. Hope is to look forward with desire and reasonable confidence. You like that? I didn't either. And they didn't either. But see, we don't even know or have a functional definition for hope, let alone how does it actually work. Probably hard to implement something we don't even know how to define. We don't even know what we're aiming for. Hope has got to be more than just reasonable confidence. Amen? Because there is nothing reasonable about the kingdom of God. There is nothing reasonable about the kingdom of God. It's not reasonable. Kingdom faith is not reasonable. Kingdom love is not reasonable. Let's go the second mile. Hit me on the other cheek. That's not reasonable. And neither is kingdom hope. The kingdom of God is always extraordinary. Amen? If we're doing kingdom stuff, there is an extraordinary outcome in mind. When we pray for healing, we aren't praying for hope they feel a little better. We're glad if they do. We'll take anything. We like 10% healing. But that's not what we're praying for. Amen? Extraordinary is what the kingdom's about. So extraordinary defines the faith we live in, defines the love we live in, and defines the hope that we live in. I want to suggest these are all three equal components of being kingdom people. Hope is the vision for kingdom ministry and living. Faith is the power for kingdom ministry and living. And love is the motivation for kingdom ministry and living. And all three of them go together. We need to retool our definition of hope. There's several words, particularly in the Old Testament, that are translated hope, but they carry the concept like refuge and security and safety. And based on those words, along with the core definition of New Testament, by the way, this paragraph was one teaching I did on this, so you're getting, like, I just had to condense it. Based on all the Old Testament words used and defined as hope and the New Testament word, I have a suggestion for a different definition of hope. Hope is the confident desire for an expectation of trust, security, and good. It's a confident expectation and desire for security, trust, and good. When I have hope, I've got this confidence to say, of course it's going to happen. Sam comes up to me and said, hey, there's this really awesome couple that just got engaged and it'd be a really cool present for them. You know, and I'm sitting right here going, okay. Now, I've got to have hope. Please, God, come and give me something. But that's not what I prayed. I'll tell you what I prayed in just a minute. But we've got to have love because hopefully they felt loved whether they agreed with anything I said. I've got to have faith that God wants to do this and he's told me to do this, but I've also got to have this confident desire and expectation that good is going to come out of this, that they're going to feel secure, they're going to feel accepted. And if we don't have that as the starting place, we're going to run into some challenges. Ephesians 1:18 is such an awesome verse about hope. It says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know what? The hope. The hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. It isn't faith, he says, that you will know the hope that he's called you to. Do we live with a desire for and the expectation of God's awesomeness? When we pray, are we praying with the hope, this confident thing that says, Papa loves me, and he's going to come and show up, and I don't know how he's going to do it. And even if people make poor choices, he's able to take something that's bad and turn it into good. I've got hope that the kingdom's going to show up. Do you have hope? I hope so. Pun intended. God is inviting each one of us into an enlightenment about what hope is, because these three remain. Biblical faith, I submit to you, is impossible without biblical hope. See, they're not compartmentalized. There's faith over here, and faith works on its own, and they're not connected to the other ones. Sam mentioned people can do that. They can operate in a gift. I've got faith it's going to happen, but it doesn't really sit well because we don't have love, which has got to be attached to it as well. And neither of them are generating kingdom activity unless there's hope. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Got to have faith or it's not going to work. But what is faith? Is faith trying hard? A lot of times it is for people, but that's not biblical faith. One of the cool things about faith is when we've caught it with God, when we marry it with hope, faith is a pretty easy thing to do. I wish I was better at it. I'm up here talking to you as somebody who's still trying to grow in this thing too. We were sharing today at lunch a little bit, and some of the things that have just happened in terms of healing, it's like I have a lot more faith for it. I don't even know why, except that this entire growth in praying for healing happened about the time I started learning about hope. The link between faith and hope. We're probably not going to do it tonight, but sometime we're going to have some healing times here, and God's just going to come and heal people. Isn't that cool? And I can say that because I know he's going to do that, because my hope is that God's going to do good things, because that's who God is. Just like when we prophesy to you, and I'm not going to get to prophesy to all of you because you've gotten too big, but your team does, and you've got people who can do that, because I got faith God wants to show up. But the faith is based not on my skill or ability, it's on the hope that God wants to do this good stuff. Faith isn't trying hard. Faith isn't only just saying trust in God. By the way, house church leaders, there'd be another thing. What does it mean to trust in God? Give that to your people and that'll take care of another night. So basically, I've taken care of your curriculum for about a month. Faith isn't even believing in God more than anything else. Satan believes in God more than we do. He's really convinced everything in the book is true. What does faith look like? How do we see that it works? The Bible gives us a really clear definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1. And we can all quote this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And what does that mean? There's another one. Until a few years ago, I had no idea what that meant. When I would talk with people, I'd say, you know, what is faith? And they go, oh, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That was the New American Standard Version. That's the way I learned it. And I go, what does that mean? What does that look like if I walked in a room and saw someone doing it? I go, I don't know. It didn't have any meaning for me because I didn't know what hope meant. Look at that verse again. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Faith and hope are unconditionally and irrevocably tied together. And if we've struggled with faith, I want to suggest it's because we don't have biblical hope. Healing started in a whole different dimension for me once I started learning about hope. My understanding of healing hadn't changed at all, but my hope perspective did. Biblical faith is impossible without biblical hope. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. But the other side is awesome. Biblical faith is inevitable when we have biblical hope. If we get into biblical hope, we will have biblical faith. Is there an area where you've been praying and it's not working? I want to suggest grab more hope. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? So how does it work? I'm a teacher. I like definitions, but I love to know how's it going to work. One of the things that people have enjoyed about when I talk about the prophetic is that I can help you to make it work. When I go to the other two churches, they've asked me to talk about it. And one of the things I've got is we just have question time. What do you want to know about the prophetic that's keeping you from stepping into another level of prophetic? Well, I can help you with that. That's what teachers do. We can help you with the stuff. Where are you stuck? We can do that. So how does hope work? The Bible says to hope in God. Over 20 times just in the Psalms, it says hope in God. Over 30 times in the Bible, it says hope in God. Do you know how many times it says to hope in anything else? Zero. The Bible never says to hope in anything else except for God. We don't hope for an answer to prayer. We hope in God. We don't hope to get a prophetic word for someone. We hope in God. Hello? Because the Bible tells us we're to hope in God. For whatever it is we're looking for, whatever we're trying to develop faith, whatever we're trying to see happen in any part of our life, in any kind of breakthrough, it starts with hope because faith is the assurance of what we hope for. And the Bible tells us we are to hope in God, period. Thank you. Okay, then I'll move on. What happens to most of us? Most of us hope, and it's genuine. We're not saying you're bad people. I'm not a bad person because most of my life I didn't hope in God. I just didn't know. Most of us functionally hope in an experience. Now, why does that become defective? Because experience involves other people. I've often shared, it's really hard to pray to get a hypochondriac healed because their whole identity is wrapped up in being sick. They talk about their illnesses and all that kind of thing. That's who they are. They're sick, and that's their identity. If my hope is in the experience of that hypochondriac getting healed, there's a high level of possibility I'm going to be disappointed. Not because I don't have faith, but my hope was set in something else. And what happens when you pray, for instance, for healing, and they don't get healed? What happens to your faith level? It goes down. I didn't say I was a university teacher. I teach at functional level. Yeah, if you pray for healing and it doesn't happen, your faith goes down. If your faith doesn't go down, please come and talk to me and tell me how to do that. Or you can change what you hope for. If we're believing for an outcome or an experience, I have faith that I'm going to get married. I have faith that my spouse will change. Please, God, change them. I have faith I'm going to have a child. Oh, my God, give me faith to raise this child and get them out of the house or, you know, whatever. God, I have faith for a new job. Oh, my God, have my boss get transferred to, you know, Antarctica. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If our faith is based on the outcome or the experience, we're going to have a substandard faith because other people can make choices that will derail it. We can make choices that derail it. But in either case, if our hope is set on an experience or an outcome, we will have an inferior faith to what God desires for us. Our hope is in God, not in the outcome. So let's look at a couple of examples, because I love examples. We hope for a raise at work. Anybody ever had that one besides me? I was an accountant. I really liked being an accountant. I really liked the income I had as an accountant. My stock options always paid for our vacation. Now my stock options are waiting for me in heaven. Yeah. That's what we can all say when we don't have them, right? So we pray for a raise, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. God wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to be, you know, wealthy, to be able to give to those who are poor, to contribute to all the things that God wants to do, and as a measurement for the world to see, hey, Christians are good at what they do, including prosperous, being prosperous. But look at what they do with their money. One of the most consistent testimonies I had as an accountant was talking about what I contribute to the church. The projects or the things that we would do. I'd get time off and go on a ministry trip or something and come back and talk to them. Use your money for that? Doesn't that like cost a lot of money? Well, no, actually, I got plenty. Just a thought. So there's nothing wrong with asking for that. Then we start thinking about what we're going to do with our raise, go on vacation, pay down debt, save up for retirement. Yeah, you really should probably start saving for retirement. As one who's close to it, probably wish I would have saved a little bit more. Anyway, it's all those things are good. What happens if we get the raise? Our faith in our ability, God to come through for me, and it goes up, right? But what happens if we don't get the raise? Oh, God, I was hoping for that. I was believing for that. I knew you were going to come through for me, and it didn't happen, and our faith goes down. And often our love, stupid boss, can't see that I'm brilliant, can't see that I deserve that more than they did. You know, all the kingdom godly expressions of love that we desire to do when we go into the marketplace and be a witness for Jesus, right? And it all rides on what our hope was on. Because we hoped for the raise, and our well-being and faith went up or down based on the outcome. But kingdom hope rests in God. So what does it look like for me to hope in God for my financial well-being? God, you know the stuff I got to do and want to do and desire to do. You know, the things that are on my heart. I know, God, and here's the hope. I know that you are my protector. You are my provider. You have a good plan for my life. There are things you want to have happen in my life. I'm going into that review. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to just talk about who I am, what I've done, what I haven't done, things I need to improve on, things I don't need to improve on, because you, God, are my provider. My hope is in you. Get the raise? Awesome. Don't get the raise? Equally awesome. It's okay. How are you going to take care of this, God? Doesn't matter to me, but I'm just interested how you're going to do this. Because my hope is in God, not in the outcome of the raise. So I can still remain in faith. It's like, oh, I really wanted to take my wife on this excellent cruise for our anniversary. By the way, Mary says hi to all of you. I talked to her last night. I was falling asleep last night. She goes, well, you got to tell, you know, and all these people, please say hi. And so, hi. Hugs. It's the best I could do. So I want to take her on all those things. Okay, God, if I don't get the raise, how are you going to take care of this? You put it on my heart. Papa, what's on your mind for this? My faith doesn't diminish based on the outcome because my hope is in God, who's going to take care of me. And we can have consistent faith. We can have consistent love expression. I can be equally loving to my boss whether he gives me a raise or not. Yeah? The hinge point for hope is what are we looking for in terms of outcome? Is it God's character or is it an experience? We will switch when we start to look for God's character. When we pray for healing, I think we'll do it on Sunday probably, because Sam said I have an hour, and I don't really have an hour's worth of anything. I'm just not good enough to talk that long. So we'll probably pray for healing. There are people that are going to get healed. I know that because Papa wants to heal people. If you don't get healed, gosh, I'm really sorry. Let's pray again. Because Papa wants to get healed, because my hope is in God's desire to heal his kids. And I'm thoroughly convinced that's what changed in the whole praying for people who are sick. Lisa asked me about the time I was in India, and we're wedge packed into there's so many people in India. Oh my gosh. There's like about 80 people packed into this tiny little room, you know, and I'm up here talking, and there's like a person sitting like right there, and it was really close. And I said, okay, who's sick? I didn't even get a word of knowledge or anything else. So who's sick? Put up your hand. You know, like 70% of them put up their hand because they don't have doctors or anything there, at least the people we were going to. Okay, God, they're sick. Put your hands on each other, and let's just ask God to heal. God, come and heal them. That was a good prayer, huh? You know, I grew up in a church that had very demonstrative, over-the-top expressive kind of people who came in to do healing and such things. And I don't say that I'm necessarily against that. Whatever works if they get healed. But I'm kind of an understated person. I'm up here because God put me up here. My preference most of my life would be I want to be like back there somewhere. Seriously. You don't believe me. When I came back to church, the first time I taught a Bible study, I was in another church from my parents because the church I was going to had a lot better softball team than my parents' church. I'm good at softball. I want to play on a good team. And usually church teams are lousy. Not this one, of course. I know your pastor. He's going to be into it. I told my parents I was teaching a Bible study. They so didn't believe me. They went and talked to the pastor of the church I was going to and said, "Is he really in front of someone talking about the Bible?" They didn't believe me. I'm up here not because I'm good at speaking. I'm up here because this is where God wants me to be, and my hope is in God. So when we pray for healing on Sunday, and we're going to have a time to do that, people are going to get healed because my hope is in God, because Papa wants to love on his kids and heal them. Amen? If you don't get healed, I still have faith because my faith is in God. Let's pray again. If Jesus had to pray twice, I can pray twice. It's okay. I got no ego where that's concerned. I've failed enough times and all this stuff because I'm going, it should work. And, you know, all these, I got so many stories about how I've messed up healing. The only thing I have more stories is how I've messed up prophecy. So what's your hope when you're talking to God about finances and getting a raise? Where's your hope at? Is it in the raise or is it in God to be your provider? If our hope is not in God, we're going to have a substandard Christian faith. Period. If our hope is in God, that's the platform for faith to be released because faith is the assurance of things that we hope for. We cannot be assured that our boss is going to recognize how brilliant we are. Hello? Let's do one more. We'll talk about prophecy because that's one of the reasons he has me come here. I just want to say again, this house has been tremendous, over-the-top blessing and honoring me. It's so humbling for me to come here. You know, today, a couple people came up and just said, "You know that word you gave me? And I'm really sorry, I don't remember the word I gave you." I do prophesy to a lot of people, and I don't remember. I can remember a number of your faces. I can even remember some of your names, but I don't remember the word that I gave you. I really don't. And that's okay, because if I did my job well, it's your word, and I gave it to you, and it worked well. The ones I remember, the ones I really screwed up. Seriously, I can remember clearly words that I've fouled up. And yet I've had people come up to me and go, "Oh yeah, you prayed about a baby, and they had it, you know, the next month, and you prophesied that there was going to be this change in promotion, and all these different kind of things." I don't remember it. That means I did it well. So I remember the ones I messed up. But I'm really humbled and honored by how you interact with me. And thank you so much. Yay, God, because it really isn't me. I'm pretty much a screw-up without God. So thank you. But when I've taught about hearing God's voice, And I can share the basic mechanics of it. They go, well, how can you do that? Like, how can you have Pastor Sam tell you, oh, there's going to be a couple that's going to come up here, and so you'll get a word for them, right? I go, well, of course I will. How can I do that in hope? Okay. When you're getting ready to prophesy to someone, the general thought that most of you had, if it isn't get me out of here, is, God, I got to get a word. Yeah? Is that what most people do? And yet, what is your hope in if that's your request from God? Our hope is, I got to get a word so I know how to say something to this person, because these two guys are going to come up here and it's like they're getting engaged and it's an exciting time. That's not what I hope for. Sam says to me, can you pray for him? I go, sure. What I said when they walked up here was, God, what do you want to say to them? What's your heart for them? How do you want to communicate some kind of love? I looked at Vivian. Yeah, looked at Vivian. God says, she is so precious to me. Cool, I'm ready to go now. I know what the topic is. I know what the subject is. Because Papa wanted to do that. There's no pressure on me. I can still screw it up and make mistakes and, you know, go off track. And I got stories about that that are appalling and abysmal and embarrassing and all that. But most of the time, it's like, I can say something about that. Who's the guy?
Sheldon.
I told you, I don't remember names very much at all. Like, I don't remember the words, and it was faithful. He's one of my faithful ones. Okay, God, I'm ready to go. Because my faith is in God's heart for them, and I'm asking, what do you want to say to him, God? It's not on me. I don't have to come up with a word or seek it out or look for a little insignia of a dove on their heart. Say, God says you're like a dove carrying the Holy Spirit or something. You'd be amazed what people do when they're desperate to try to get a word. Please give me something to start. My hope is that Papa loves his kids so much, he can't wait to give them a word. And as long as I'm not in the way, and as long as I don't get caught up and look at me doing my stuff, and boy, that last word really rocked it, as long as I don't mess it up, it's gonna work. Because my hope is in, I said faith, my hope is in the character of God that Papa loves his kids. And of course he's going to give me something to speak to them. I mean, he used a donkey to talk to Balaam. I'm a little bit higher on the, you know, evolutionary scale or whatever. Creationary scale, evolutionary, you know, whatever. If you're growing from glory to glory, are you evolving? So does that make it evolutionary? Have you caught what I've said? Hope is based on God. Our hope is in God, in his character, in his passion for connecting with his people, whether it's caring for people financially, caring for people relationally, excited about their growth. Many of you are parents now. Thank you for the Facebook posts. I can keep up a little bit with what y'all are doing. And you guys post kids really well. We want our kids to grow up. Papa wants that for us too. He's going to say nice things. He's going to say encouraging things. Even when he points out stuff that's difficult, last week, Ken shared the word that I gave them some time ago. I don't know when. When I heard it, I go, are you kidding? I can't believe I said that. It was scary to me to hear I said it. Because the focus for me wasn't on the word. It's Papa's got a good word for them. Loves them and cares for them. You with me? Our hope is in God. For whatever you're trying to believe for and develop, however you want love to be expressed in your life, our hope is in God. Not in the experience. We'll get the experience. I hope that was good for you guys. Seemed like it was okay. They didn't get mad. Vivian kept smiling the whole time, so something must have been okay. Either that or you're just this precious little smiler. She's engaged. They're going to be smiling like... Hope in God. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And faith expressed is kingdom love. The object of hope. Yeah, I said this a couple times. Just one more time. The object of hope is always God. When we've got that, that's going to set us up to experience biblical faith and kingdom expressions of love. I can freely love because I'm loved by God. My hope is not that somebody's going to like what I do. My hope is in I am completely loved by God. All things being equal, I'd like you to love me. But if you don't, it doesn't change anything because my hope is in the consistency and the faithfulness and the passion that God has for me. My identity doesn't hang on what other people do. Kingdom faith requires a hope that doesn't ebb and flow, doesn't decrease and increase, and it doesn't require specific outcomes. Kingdom hope is based on God, his character, his integrity, to always do and be who he says he's going to be, and that produces kingdom outcome. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the assurance of things we hope for. What are you hoping for tonight? What are you hoping for this weekend? It'll be an honor to prophesy to at least some of you. But if your hope is in the word you want to get from me, you're going to be disappointed. Because even if I get the word right, the outcome is still between you and God. And you've read the book, right? You've read the Bible, right? You know the stories in them. Abraham gets this prophetic word. You're going to a land I'm going to give you, and you're going to be the father of many nations. Did he have any idea of what the journey was going to look like? Who stuck Sodom and Gomorrah in the middle of this thing? And oh yeah, by the way, Abraham, as a guy who's really got his marriage together, it probably wasn't a good idea to give your wife away twice. Joseph, even your family is going to bow down to you. Oh, by the way, some people are going to make some crummy choices. Your brothers are going to choose to sell you into slavery. You're going to be falsely accused. You're going to be abandoned in prison on your way to the destiny you've got going for you. If our hope is in getting the word that we're going to end up someplace, we're going to be disappointed. Paul, you're going to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Oh, by the way, your church planning methodology is three Sunday meetings and then a riot. You're going to get killed, but you'll get raised from the dead. You're going to get beaten. You're going to get, shipwrecked. A lot of people who you're going to really want to talk to, like all the Jewish people, they're going to ignore you. They're going to say bad things about you. But you call me to be a apostle. Even if the word's right, we don't know what the process is going to be. We don't know the choices that people are going to make. But hope is grounded in the character of God. Amen? And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. Father, I thank you for this awesome group of people. And I ask that you would begin to work in each man and woman's heart the places where they've been disappointed, frustrated, kind of just laid aside relationship with you because it hasn't gone the way they thought. When they don't want to pray for healing anymore or advancement in their careers, they don't want to do that anymore. God, that you would shift something around. Change perspective. Make real how awesome you are. You are worthy of our hope. God, that every person here would step through that invitation door to a greater understanding of what hope is. A greater revelation in Jesus' name for every hungry heart here. Greater revelation of the hope that God desires to give. Thank you so much. Bless this house and bless the hope and the faith that's going to come and the love that's going to come and the expansion that's going to come, because hoping in God is always a good deal. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? And thank you, Rob. That was a great message. Very, very, very deep. let's just close our eyes for a moment. And the worship team is going to lead us in a song. And we're going to pray for people tonight. And so we're going to ask God to speak to us, and especially in that area of hope. Maybe you were realize that maybe you put your hope in the wrong things. You know, there's a passage in Luke, I think it's in 24, where Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus, and the two, Cleopas and his friend, and they leave everything behind. They leave their ministry. They're actually going back to their old life again. And they say something as they're talking to Jesus on the road, and he's asking, what's going on? And he says, well, we were hoping that it was he that was going to redeem Israel, and so on and so forth. Realize, man, they put their hope in the wrong thing. They were putting their hope on this experience that Israel would be the ruler of the world again as a nation. And Jesus appeared to them to give them the right hope, or to align their hope in the right way. I feel like that's what God wants to do tonight with us. And so as the team just leads us in a song, and if you're in that place today, and maybe you recognize, man, I've been putting my hope in the wrong things. I've been putting my hope in an experience, or I like the way that Rob said, I've been putting my hope in an outcome. And you're here tonight and says, Lord, I want to put my hope in you. I want to pray for you tonight. And Rob's going to be here praying, some of our staff and leaders as well. But let's just start off, and let's just really put our hope in God as we sing to him tonight. So go ahead, Ricky, why don't you lead us?